Morning, morning, Strong Tower. How you all doing this morning? Pastor Chris and his bride is away for the day. So it is an honor and privilege to stand in for the greatest preacher I've ever heard. And so today we are going to get in our word. Thank you everyone who's here today. Thank you all for coming out. You know, we want to continue to lift up them as they're gone, and Miss Felicia getting away to refresh. So let's go to a word and prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, you know that my prayer, my desires, Lord, is that you always move me out the way and allow your word to go forth. Allow your word to convict those that need convicted, Lord. Comfort those that need comfort. But use your word to challenge us all in areas where we need to grow. And we ask all these prayers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For those of you who've been here the last few months, Pastor Chris has been doing an outstanding job in the book of Judges. And so we're going to stay in Judges today. And so he's been pulling out these sermons and he's preaching the book of Judges like I've never heard it before. Probably because I've never heard nobody preach the book of Judges before. And he is just bringing out things. And so what I did was I said, I'm going to go all the way to the last verse in Judges. Because he tell you about the book of Judges, it's about cycles. They're repeating the same cycle. They get in trouble because they're worshiping other gods and idols, and then God send the enemies to just come upon them and be pretty much, as the Bible says, be a thorn in their side. Then they crying out to God, and God will raise up a judge to deliver them, and then God, the judge will die off, and then they start the same cycle over and over again. And the last verse in Judges, even after all of that, all these judges he raised up, the last verse said in Judges 21:5, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I want to talk about today from the topic, repeat offenders. Repeat offenders. A while ago, about 11, 12 years ago, my wife was feeling a little fatigued. She was feeling restless, and she was also feeling a little sore, you know, and she was having like little minor headaches. So I took her to the walk-in clinic down on Main Street, and the doctor did some blood work, and he came back in there, and he told her that the reason why she was fatigued, the reason why she was feeling tired, the reason why she was having these headaches is because she had an iron deficiency. She had low iron in her blood. And so what he did was he prescribed her some pills so that she can get iron in her blood so that she could start back sleeping, so she won't be getting these headaches, so she won't be feeling restless. And I think to keep and help us to prevent from being repeat offenders. And the reason why they were doing it is they were suffering from a spiritual iron deficiency. Right. And you know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 27:7, that iron sharpens iron, as iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another. So our iron is one another, someone in your life to sharpen you and make you better. So some of us are suffering from a spiritual deficiency, spiritual iron deficiency. And we may say, because, you know, you look at this life and I want to go through this life on my own. And, you know, we see how God has designed and created us. Nobody has ever been created to do this on your own. God has always created us to have others in our lives. And the reason why they can repeat the same cycle over and over, because they probably was around people that was okay with them remaining in their sinful, unholy state. The Bible tells us one of the things that Pastor Chris talked about, one of his things he said a few weeks ago, he said the greatest deception is self-deception. Because a lot of times people, I can do this on my own. I don't need nobody. He said the greatest deception is self-deception, because God has not created us to do anything on our own. For us to be who he needs us to be and we're designed to be, we have to have others in our life to help get us to our maximum potential. One of the things Howard Thurman said, that life really boils down to two questions. Where am I going? and who's going with me. Because God is very concerned about who we have in our life. That's why the Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good character. Grandmama used to say, you don't have to tell me who you are. I just see who you hanging around and I tell you who you are. Because birds of a feather and you lay down with dogs. Y'all know my grandmama. Susan B. been everywhere. Pastor John Faison in Watson Grove, he says that when God wants to truly bless you, he doesn't send you things, he sends you people. When God wants to bless you, he don't send you things, he sends you people, people that's going to help better you. Pastor Howard Wesley said, we are never at our best by ourselves. And yet we see this and we feel like, you know what? I'm the exception to the rule. By me. I'm the exception to the rule. I can do it. But Elder Sherman said last month, the one thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. We got to have people in our lives to make us better. Jesus Christ knew that. You know Jesus Christ, the sinless Savior. He knew that when God sent him to send salvation and to get the gospel spread out, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So one of the first things he did was he wanted to gather others around him. So he went and handpicked 12 disciples, 12 men to help him get the word out, because Jesus said, as great as I am, I can't do it by myself. Why y'all sitting there like y'all don't know who Jesus is? You know the one who, when he was baptized in the Jordan, it came up and there was a voice that said, this is my beloved son, and who I am well pleased. That Jesus who went in the wilderness and went toe to toe with Satan, that's the Jesus I'm talking about, because some of y'all sitting there acting like y'all don't know who Jesus is. The one who spoke to the winds and waves and said, chill out. And they said, all right. The one who walked on water. The one who touched wine, and in the words of D.L. Hughley, keep the party going. The one when a woman touched the hem of his garment and he felt the power come out. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. The Jesus who will speak healing in the atmosphere and sickness would obey. That Jesus who raised the dead, caused the mute to speak, unclogged deaf ears, and opened blinded eyes. That's the Jesus who I'm talking about. And as great and as wonderful he is, even he decided, I need people to help me do this because I can't do it by myself. When I was living in an apartment, my oldest son, he was 5 years old. I told some of y'all the story before. See, the reason why we have to be mindful of the company we keep is that we actually think sometimes that people help us be better than what we are. That person's in my life, so they're really helping me. And this is what one person said. For people who have people, they said, if you are not intentional about who you will have in your life, you will gravitate towards people who will help you escape your own insecurity, who shares a deficiency with you. They are good for your ego or simply to fill a void in your life, but they are not people who make you better. When my oldest son was 5 years old, I told some of y'all, we was in the field, and I'm out there with the kite, him and my little cousin, Therese. So Darius and Therese watching me with the kite, and I got the kite up in the air and it's high, and Therese telling my, Darius, your daddy a bad man. He got that kite up high. And you know, I deserve that praise. Pray for me, I'm working on humility. And so I'm holding the kite up, and the kite is getting high in the sun. And they said, man, he a bad, look how high it is. But see, what they did, they didn't realize, they thought I was holding the kite up. But in reality, if I would have let the strain go, I was holding the kite back. Because see, as long as I was holding that strain, the kite couldn't go no further than I was allowing it to go out. But if I would let that strain go, that kite would have went higher and higher and higher. And too many of us got kite relationships. We got people in our lives we think that's holding us up. And in reality, they're holding us back. So we need to get these tight relationships out of our lives. So what I'm going to do is tell us, go through 7 people that we need in our life to help us become all God wants us to be. The first person we need is a confidant. That's somebody that can help you where you hurt. That safe haven. That person that feed the real you, not the public cordial you. How you doing? Things are fine. Things are okay. Not the church you. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored. God is good. This will pass. The real you. The Peter you didn't want to cut and cuss folks. The person you could take your mask off and they not judge you. That person you could just be real and who you are, and you ain't got to worry about them being able to go and broadcast your personal business, because you need that person that you can bounce off of. You need that confidant. Because the reason why, because some, you need somebody to help you process your feelings. Because even though your feelings are real, your feelings are not always true, they're not always accurate, and they're not always facts. And I say this, you will drown in a sea of your feelings if you don't have some facts to hold on to. So you can't just be doing it. So you need that confidant. Bounce it off. They tell you, you tell them, I don't like this person. I want to smack that person. I want to cuss that person out. I want to go this. And you're getting it out. They're the ones who will tell you to write all you want out on your text message. Put all you want in that email. Hit save, not seen. Because they will help protect you. They know you need to get it out. Because they don't need you taking out on Tina what Tommy did to you. And they don't need you taking out on Tim what Terry did to you. They need to help you process your feelings. That's why you need that confidant in your life. One of the things that we do is we need people to be able, and they can tell you, say, look here, what's going on, man? I'm having a bad day. And I'm sitting there right near my house, and I got the Bible on one shelf and bourbon on the other, and I don't know which one I'm going to grab. And that person ain't going to judge you. They understand what you could. So they will help you process your feelings. Because if you don't process your feelings, you will want the people that hurt you to heal you. And it's God's job to heal you, not the person that hurts you. Now, as believers, we have a responsibility to go make things right. But when you're that person that's hurt, Satan, if Satan knows that's what you need for you to get right, he's mean enough to make sure you don't get that. So instead of you waiting on them to come make it right like the Bible tells them to, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill those holes that somebody else dug. Because God tells us he is the one that's close to the brokenhearted. He will bind up those wounds. So the first thing you need is a confidant. The second person you need in your life is a confronter. The reason why you need a confronter is because you ain't always right. You ain't always right. Still, your amen a little too loud. We're going to see you back on the back row. Felicia, what you doing? Tell me she was back there fine and you brought her up here. Amen, a little too loud. We need to confront us because we're not always right. That's why we think things and we feel a certain way and we think about this, but we need somebody that's going to say, no, you're not wrong, right in that. No, you're wrong. And you need somebody that you respect. You need somebody that's bold and confident enough to come to you. Now, boldness, we know one thing that God was telling Joshua, be bold and courageous. Bold and courageous. Boldness can be different depending on who you are. I'm a very vocal person. We could be in a room talking, there ain't nothing I will not comment on or in a topic I won't discuss. And so boldness for me, God may say, okay, I need you to be quiet on this subject. And sometimes I ask God, why you want me to be quiet with all the wisdom and knowledge I have to give people? Pray for me, I'm working on humility. But then some people who's meek and quiet, their boldness may be, you need to speak up. You need to share. But when you go to that person, what does the Bible say about Jesus? He came full of grace and truth. And I love the order of scripture. He didn't say full of truth and grace, because with Jesus, it wouldn't have mattered. But he said he came full of grace and truth. Why? Because you have to be full of grace before you go get somebody the truth. You can't go self-righteous. You can't go prideful. You have to be full of grace before you go give somebody the truth. Because, see, you don't know what they've been dealing with. You don't know what they're going through, what their struggle is. You might go up to somebody who works at a post office. And they always came back and took out everybody that was left on staff. You have to be full of grace and truth. And when you go to them with truth, you have to give them truth and love. Because truth without love is abuse. And love without truth is compromise. So you have to go full of grace and truth. And when you talk to them, you got to give them truth and love. Because you have to have somebody to confront you when you're wrong. God sent Nathan to go confront David when he was wrong. Because we always do things. We don't do everything the right way. And we have to have that person to be there to confront us and deal with us when we do that. So you need a confronter in your life. When Pastor Chris had discipled me and started pouring into me, he was saying, you got to do things a certain way. So what I did was I started working on certain things. So I started working on my habits because, I'm Christian now. So I can't just do things how I used to. So I got to work on my habits. I got to do things a certain way. Then I started working on my movement because, I can't just be moving here and there. I got to make sure I'm making the right moves in life. Then I got to work on my steps because I got to make sure my steps, I'm stepping in the right place, going in places I need to go. Then I had to work on my conduct because I can't just be acting crazy everywhere. I got to have some kind of conduct. Then I got to work on my actions because people are watching me. And think about that. Everything I tried to work on was external. But he was telling me how Jesus gave me a heart and he wanted me to have a heart of Christ. And so when the Bible talks about my heart, see, the Bible tells us how we are to have a new heart because out of the heart flows the issues of life. Philippians tells us, let this mind be in you, this in Christ Jesus. See, if I would have worked on my heart, then my habits would have took care of themselves. If I would have worked on my mind, then my movements would have took care of themselves. If I would have worked on having the right spirit in me, my spirit lined up with his, then my steps would have took care of themselves. If I would have worked on my character and making sure my character reflect his, then my conduct would have took care of itself. And if I had the right proper attitude, I wouldn't have to focus on my attitude because my actions would have took care of themselves. See, I'm focused on working on the external when in reality I needed to work on the internal because if I get the internal right, the external will follow. So you need a confronter in your life. Thirdly, you need a challenger in your life. You need somebody who walk with God get on your nerves. You need somebody who walk with God will cause you to step up your game, to step up your walk. When Chris started walking with me, he led me to Christ. He didn't just leave me there. He discipled me. And his words didn't match who I was, but it did match what I saw. Because when I saw him, I wasn't a man of God, but he was. I wasn't a husband, he was. I wasn't a father, he was about to be because Dorena was pregnant with Dante. But I didn't have the prayer life he had. So I'm sitting there watching him, seeing who he was. And I was seeing that even though his words wasn't where I was, they were where he was. And he wasn't just giving me something that he wasn't living for himself. He didn't just have a word faith, he had a real faith. He didn't just talk about being about it, he was about it. And so when I saw that right there helped me because see, the one thing about Paul tells us this, we have to be smart about, we can't be ignorant of the devil's devices. And the reason why he can't be ignorant of the devil's devices because of things Satan wants you to do. Satan don't want you to have that challenge in your life. Satan don't want you to see somebody who's gonna help you raise your game. Pastor Johnson said, as much as we hear about Satan, he only got three bullets. And he shoots them at each one constantly. The first bullet he got in his gun is that Satan will try to keep you from being saved by grace. And he does that at the point in time of you're born into this world. He tries to keep you from being saved by grace. He don't want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. He don't want the Holy Spirit living inside you. He don't want you growing. He wants to keep you from being saved by grace. And you may say, too late on that. I got a relationship with the Lord. I'm saved. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And I'm full. So he missed me on that. But don't worry. He got another bullet. The second one is if he can't keep you from being saved by grace, he will try to keep you from growing in grace. And that's where the things of the kingdom is being preached. The word is being preached and being taught. Something will help you come up with an excuse why you can't be there. So we can't be there for Bible study. We can't be there at certain times on church. The in-depth studies when it's time for you to really be in-depth, not the corporate study, because churches have more corporate, but when you get to the in-depth Bible study, small groups of things, everybody that don't show up to them, Satan will always help us come up with something while we can't be there, even if I just don't feel like going. And you may say, he meet me here. He ain't got me on that one either. I go to church faithfully. I'm in Bible study. I'm in small group. I'm in marriage ministry. I'm in singles ministry. I help with children's ministry. I'm helping with Blessed Fest. I'm doing all these things. I'm good to go. Don't worry. He got one more bullet. If he can't get you from being saved by grace, and if he can't stop you from growing in grace, he will try to get you to fall in disgrace. And that's the one he shoots at you from the time you accept Christ to the time Jesus come back to get you. Because see, if he gets you to fall or do something, what you would do is you'll beat yourself up. See, you look at Judas and Peter. Judas and Peter, on that night Jesus was about to be crucified, they both did something that was unholy and dishonoring to Christ. Judas did some one thing. Peter did something. What Peter did was far worse than what Judas did. But Judas couldn't handle it. The shame and the embarrassment of what he did caused him to go take his life. With Peter didn't go back with the disciples, because when God sent the angels, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. All the other disciples in one place, where was Peter? Peter went back to his old way of living. He went back to being a fisherman. He's like, you know, I don't mess up. This God thing ain't working. Peter went back to his old way of living, and what did God do? Jesus said, hey, go get the disciples and Peter. Bring them to meet me here. And so he redeemed Peter, because Peter had to understand, Peter, you are not your mistake. And too many people don't realize they're not their mistake. Because when people do something, we call them that. Because you get drunk or you're an alcoholic, that's what they call you. God said, no, you ain't no alcoholic. Your name is Tim. Oh, because I don't stepped out, now I'm an adulterer. No, you just made a bad decision. No, because, you know, I lie all the time. He said, you're a liar. Well, yeah, he do say the people are father. They like they father the devil. So. I mean, some titles just fit. But when he's doing that, he's trying to keep you from growing. But see, one of the things that Chris did when I got around him, he surrounded me. Everybody he was introducing me to seemed like they had a relationship with the Lord. Even when I met my wife, I'm looking at her, and he said, you have to be able to lead your family. You have to be able to lead them in the word. They have to know the word. You have to know your word. They have to be able to come to you, and you can answer things for them. So I'm seeing where she is, and I'm like, dang, she's further along than me. So I got to step my game up. So I got to surpass Zilda, because I need her to come to me. I ain't got to keep coming to her for questions. So that was a motivation for me to grow in my word with the Lord. And then everybody he seemed to be introducing me to seemed to be for real about God. He introduced me to the Sims, the Fitzgeralds, the Rowleys, the Bells, John White, and the whole McFarlane family. And everybody was for real about Jesus. I'm like, dang, and I'm hanging in with them for holidays and everything, because you know, you can only front for so long. When you're around them that long and they still who they are after you're with them for hours and days at a time, I said, dang, this McFarlane family is for real, for real. Chris and Gary better not ever mess up. Jesus is going to come down in the flesh on them rascals. Then he starts strong towering. Now he's introducing me to Kirk Whalum and Sherman Smith. And then we're going to lunch with Chauncey and Joyce at the church on Sunday. My boy Stu Tully and others I'm meeting them. But Hendrick, it's so many people he started bringing into my life. And everybody he was bringing around me was serious about the Lord. So I was like, man, so I was serious with the Lord when I was with them. But I was contemplating when I was with Dwight, Tony, and Scuff in them. Tell the truth, shame the devil. But he was serious, and at some point, I had to take my walk serious. And God did that. And the fourth thing we need, after you have a challenge, you need a counselor in your life. You need somebody whose wisdom you can respect. You need somebody who can understand why you're in the situation and to help you get through that. So you need a counselor in your life. And one of the things, when you walk into something, a new season, you always have to let something old go. Right. But God, sometimes we struggle with letting go of the old. So we stuck in the new. You know, the Bible says we're to walk in forgiveness. We struggle walking in forgiveness. Right. Because we're like, I can't forgive, I have to protect myself. You know how you protect yourself? Doing what God told you to do. Don't do what you think you need to do to protect yourself. Do what he said do. Pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for your enemies. Love on people. Treat them. Well, I treat them the way they're supposed to be treated. The way they're supposed to be treated is the way God tell you to treat them. That's how everybody's supposed to be treated. We can't sit there and try to rewrite the scriptures. Been there, done that. A whole lot of people done that. That's why we got all these different religions. Now everybody want to rewrite God's word because they don't like it. You have to be able to do what God has called us to do, because you don't know what that person has been going through. You don't know how hurt they are and the things that's going on. You just know how they're reacting to you. They're mean to me. They're mistreating me. They're not loving me. They disrespectful. They talking about me behind my back. They're doing things. He's not loving me the way he's supposed to love me. She's not loving me the way she's supposed to love me. She don't respect me. She don't honor me. You know, I'm not feeling this. And while you're working on thinking about what they're doing to you, where is the grace you're supposed to give them daily? Right. Not to the point where you allow them to mistreat you, right. Because you do have a responsibility to let people know how they're mistreating you. Right. But the Bible gives us new mercies and new grace every day. Why is it we don't do that for each other? Right. We don't give others new mercy and new grace every day. You don't know what somebody's going through. You don't know what holes they have in them, and they still be working through them. Right. We don't have the privilege. God knows what's going on in them. But if God allowed us just to open somebody up, don't get excited, babe. If God allows us to open somebody up, we don't know how many holes they got in them. Right. We don't know how they've been tore up. Right. We don't know how many knife marks is in their back from where somebody done stabbed them in their back. We don't know. So when we're going to them and we're struggling with people, you have to pray for them, not about them. Because when you're praying about them, you're talking, Lord, they always talking to me this way. I need you to do it. Lord, they doing this to me. They mistreating me. That's praying about them. That's not biblical. God ain't heard none of that. But when you pray for that person, Lord, bless them. Lord, help encourage them. Lord, bring blessings on their life. Heal their body, Lord. You pray for them. And when you see change, the good comfort you can feel as it's your prayers for them, help be part of that change and turnaround in their life. Fifthly, you need a campaigner in your life. A campaigner in your life is that person who has your back when nobody else does. Somebody could be talking about you behind your back and they're sitting there saying this about you. That campaigner will speak to your character. They will speak to your change. They will speak to your behavior. They will speak, hey, they're making strides. They're going in this area. You ain't going to see the results overnight. If, remember when Pastor Chris was talking about one time how when people want to lose weight, they want the weight to leave, be gone overnight. He said, if it didn't come on you overnight, it ain't going to leave overnight. If it gradually came on you, you're going to have to gradually get it off. And so when people been a certain way for so long, they ain't going to get that out of them overnight. So we have to have the patience that God has with us. Somebody say, if God opened up our sins and our issues, we would shut up talking about everybody else's. So you need that campaigner in your life. Sixthly, what you need a co-benefactor in your life. A co-benefactor is somebody that benefits from you, that person pouring to you. So as a co-benefactor, when Pastor Chris started walking with me, he said, I'm going to disciple you, but you also have to disciple somebody else. So as he was discipling me, there were several people that I was walking with, but the one who I spent the most time with and I took on as my personal disciple was my boy Terrence Ellis. Terrence, throw your hands up. He in the back right there, that's Terrence Ellis. Now, as Pastor Chris was my disciple, was the one discipling me, I was discipling Terrence. And I'm gonna be honest with y'all, I have to admit, I think Pastor Chris' disciple turned out better. I told y'all, pray for me. I'm working on humility. Okay, let me start right now with the humility. But the reason Pastor Chris' disciple turned out better is that his disciple had a better example. Y'all see that humility kick in? Yeah. You have to be able to pour into somebody. They have to benefit from you. You live in life with them. You're pouring into them and you are investing into them. So when you look at somebody that's benefiting, you have to have somebody that you're walking with. You do not want to go through this life without somebody that when you get to the end or even through your life, there's nobody you can say that I actually led to Christ. I actually discipled them. I actually walked with them. Because it would be a sad life for you to get to that point. And if you've been saved all this time, you don't have somebody that you're pouring into, that's sad as well. Right. I don't know enough, neither did I. I need to understand the Bible. No, you don't. Because that person you pointed to, they're going to help you study the Bible better because they're going to ask you questions that you're going to have to go find the answer to. So we have to do what God told us to do and stop and eliminate the excuses. So you need a couple. And lastly, you need in your life is you need a celebrator. You need somebody that's going to help celebrate you. You may be going through, like, life is hard. Christianity is harder. So when you're going through this hard life, you may not feel appreciated by others. Your work, you may not feel appreciated by people on your job, people at the church, people in your household, people in your family. You may not feel appreciated. Right. But you need that person in your life that's going to celebrate you for you being you. You are a great person. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the head and not the tail. All the things that God said about you, that's how they see you. That's how they're viewing you. Right. So you need that person to celebrate, be as celebrated in your life. And so when you look at these things will help us to help prevent us from being repeat offenders. If you surround yourself and get these type of people in your life, God, you will see a change in your life. Amen. That's all I have for y'all this morning. Y'all can stand as we close out in prayer. You all can stand. All minds clear. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service. We thank you for today, Lord. We pray, Lord, you just watch over everyone as they're leaving today as they have safe travel. And Father, we just thank you for everyone that took time to be here and for those watching online. We love you, Lord. We thank you for giving us new mercies every day, giving us grace. And Lord, my prayer is that we all walk out and looking for the people in our life to help make us better. And Lord, that we continue to extend the grace that you extend to us all the time so that we're not walking around in bitterness, frustration, anger, and uneasiness. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.